It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a new report from the Fed estimates that tariffs put in place by the Trump administration are costing U.S. consumers more than $1 billion a month. We'll learn more in just a bit. First, as we head through the afternoon, how's your energy level? Are you feeling pretty good or are you starting to drag? A new global study from Philips shows that most people aren't getting enough sleep. In fact, 62% said at best they only sleep somewhat well, and 80% said they want to improve their sleep quality. And the effects can go beyond just feeling tired. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, sleep deprivation has a high correlation to depression, obesity, stroke, and even cancer. So what's keeping us from getting the sleep we need? And what can we do about it? Dr. Lisa Cottrell is a clinical health psychologist with Aurora Healthcare in Grafton. She specializes in the behavioral and psychological treatment of sleep disorders in adults, adolescents, and kids. Dr. Cottrell, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
It seems clear that we are living in a sleep-deprived society. Is that anything new?
Well, it's been around for a while, but it does seem to be getting worse.
And do we have any idea why?
Well, there are many reasons. There are, of course, many more electronic devices to keep our attention and to disturb our ability to sleep. Of course, work hours take a toll, and the way we socialize, again, with electronic devices is having a negative effect on how we sleep and when we sleep.
So let's dig into some of those reasons. Let's talk about electronics, because certainly, as you said, this is a newer development in how we live in our society, how we connect, how we entertain ourselves. What is it about those electronics that can lead to poor sleep?
Well, there are actually several things. So the one thing that people often think about first is that they emit blue light. And blue light does disturb our circadian cycle, and that can keep us alert when we'd like to be actually falling asleep. Another factor is that the things that we do on these devices tend to be really activating. So we get involved in activities on the devices, and that can make it hard for us then to settle down and be able to fall asleep.
So I think sometimes we think like scrolling through Facebook or just kind of noodling around looking at things that that's really pretty passive. But you're saying that it is actually still mentally stimulating, even if it's maybe not anything, you know, it's not like studying for a math exam or something.
Absolutely. If you talk to people about that, you'll find often they'll say, you know, all of a sudden it's been an hour and a half and I don't know where the time went.
And is that also tied to, you know, a lot of people now, instead of watching a movie or a TV show on a TV, they're actually watching it on their phone or maybe on a tablet, or maybe they're in bed and watching it on a TV.
Right. Many people do have their phone or their tablet or laptop in bed with them, or a television in their bedroom.
What is the recommended amount of sleep that, say, let's just say an adult, you know, middle-aged adult should be getting every evening, every night?
So adults need somewhere usually between about 7.5 and 8.5 hours of sleep a night.
And that Philips survey that we referenced said adults on average are getting about 6.8 hours of sleep a night. Not a huge difference from what you said, but does that spell trouble to you?
Oh, absolutely. People report regularly getting less than 7 hours of sleep, and anything less than 7 hours of sleep on a consistent basis is associated with many negative health outcomes.
What are some of those negative health outcomes?
So, of course, increased risk for obesity, increased risk for heart disease, increased risk for depression, and actually diabetes, and even cancer.
Do we know what the correlation is between those very serious health conditions and something that seems, you know, not that big a deal, getting less sleep than we should?
Well, when we don't get enough sleep, then our bodies aren't doing the things they need to do during those hours we should be sleeping that help take care of our health. One really obvious and clear example we found is that when we get inadequate sleep, some of the hormones in our body that regulate eating and hunger get out of kilter. And then that affects, for example, our eating habits and the way even our bodies are able to manage food intake.
There are some people who say that they really don't need that much sleep. They can get by on maybe like 5 hours a night. Is it possible that there are some human beings that that's the case for?
There are some human beings who are what we call short sleepers. Very, very, very few. A very, very small percentage of the population. And usually what we would consider a short sleeper would be someone who, for whom 6 hours is adequate. But that is very rare.
I've also heard it said that older people, that as we age, we need less sleep. Is that true or is that a myth?
That's not really true. We need less sleep as adults than we do as teenagers. But once we're adults, the amount of sleep we need stays fairly constant. The older we get, the more we tend to wake up during the night. The way that our sleep happens over the course of the night does change as we get older. And so that can certainly have an effect on how much an older person will sleep during the night. And it can reduce that somewhat. But that doesn't mean that we need less sleep. So we still need to do well and to have optimal health outcomes, approximately the same amount of sleep.
We're talking with Dr. Lisa Cottrell. She's a clinical health psychologist with Aurora Healthcare in Grafton. She specializes in the behavioral and psychological treatment of sleep disorders. And we're talking about the fact that as a nation, we don't get as much sleep as we need. And Dr. Cottrell, I wanted to zero in on something. We're talking about amount of sleep, but does it also matter when we get that sleep? Because there are people, for instance, that either work, work an overnight shift, sleep during the day, or people whose schedules change. And sometimes they're working that third shift, sometimes they're working first. Is that an additional barrier to getting all the benefits of good sleep?
Yes, it absolutely is. So first off, we all do better when we have a consistent sleep schedule. But it also does appear that people who work night shift, even when they do stay with that kind of schedule 7 days a week, tend to have some poorer health outcomes than people who work first shift. In any case, we do have a time in our body clock that is a good time for us to be sleeping. And again, the more consistent we are able to be with when sleep happens, the better quality of sleep that you'll have.
What about if, say, we're watching TV or relaxing, maybe reading before bed, after dinner, we fall asleep on the couch for maybe an hour, and then we go up, you know, go to bed and finish off our night's sleep. Is that total amount of sleep the same as having it uninterrupted?
Probably not. If you're sleeping, for example, in front of the television, that having the television in front of you while you're sleeping is actually going to disturb the quality of your sleep that you're getting during that time. And depending on how much disruption you have when you get up and you get into your bed, that's going to disturb the quality of your sleep as well.
You mentioned earlier that adults need overall less sleep than younger people. How much more sleep do children and adolescents need?
Well, so elementary school age children typically need as much as 11 hours of sleep a night. Generally, we think between about 9.5 and 11 hours. And adolescents and teenagers need between about 8.5 and 9.5 hours of sleep a night.
We're talking with Dr. Lisa Cottrell. She's a clinical health psychologist with Aurora Healthcare in Grafton. And we're talking about what keeps us from getting a good night's sleep and what we can do about it. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have trouble sleeping? How have you done Have you done anything to try to improve the quality of your sleep? And how does your lack of sleep affect you throughout the day? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're talking about how to get better sleep. Dr. Lisa Cottrell is our guest. She's a clinical health psychologist with Aurora Healthcare in Grafton, and she specializes in the behavioral and psychological treatment of sleep disorders in adults, adolescents, and children. Tell us about your sleep habits at 800-642-1234. Would you say you sleep pretty well, or do you struggle? What have you done to try to improve your sleep quality? Have you seen a doctor, for instance? If you consistently get a good night's rest, tell us your secret. What questions do you have about falling asleep, staying asleep, sleep disorders, or naps? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Dr. Cottrell, I wanted to ask about the idea of catching up on sleep. So another recent survey said that another recent study said that catching up on sleep over the weekend isn't a very healthy thing to do. So people during the week are not getting enough and then they try to make up for it on the weekends. Why doesn't that work or why is it problematic?
Well, if you sleep in on the weekend, one of the things that happens is that that body clock I talked about before does tend to shift a little bit, and that can create some problems when you get back to the week with having the time that you'd like to fall asleep be lined up where you want it to be and then be able to wake up when you want to be able to wake up in the morning. It will also potentially disrupt what your sleep looks like at night if you sleep in the morning.
Let's go to the phones, and Marie in Menominee Falls is up. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I usually sleep only about 4 hours a night, but I feel great during the day. But then after a couple of weeks of doing that, then I'll just like crash one day late in the afternoon and I just kind of make up for that time, and you might have kind of answered this, but is that possible to make up that missed sleep?
And I did want to go to you, Marie, because Dr. Cottrell had just been talking about that. Marie, is there any way to not only get 4 hours a night, or is that just the way your schedule is?
No, that's just me. I try to go to bed, and I'm the only one up. I'll go to bed at midnight. And then I get up at 4 a.m. That's it.
So Dr. Cottrell, what would you say to Marie? It's not that she doesn't have the time to sleep. She just can't stay asleep.
Well, it's possible that she does have some kind of a sleep disorder that's contributing to this pattern. And if that's true, then it can happen that people get into habits of how they sleep that can just perpetuate that pattern. So it might not be a bad idea to meet with a sleep specialist to see what's happening with that. You really can't over time make up for lost sleep. It certainly is possible if you have one night during which you didn't get quite as much sleep as you ought to. If you have a really short nap in the middle of the day, that might help to make up that sleep from the night before. But in terms of a long-term plan, we don't find that really helps helps to make up that lost sleep.
Thanks for that call, Marie. And let's go now to Bryce in Cudahy. Hi, Bryce.
Hi. I was just wondering, because I heard you mention that watching TV and then falling asleep is bad because it impacts sleep quality. I've always slept with either like a fan or a white noise machine. Does that impact your quality of sleep or does it have any effect?
Thanks for that call, Bryce. So, Dr. Cottrell, is that a way to kind of control our environment?
Right. So a fan or a white noise can actually be a really good way to manage other noise that might be in the environment. And so having white noise or a fan on while you sleep is actually a really good strategy for many people to provide them with a more evenly quiet sleep environment.
We're talking with Dr. Lisa Cottrell. She's a clinical health psychologist with Aurora Healthcare in Grafton, talking about how to get a good night's sleep and why it's important. And Dr. Cottrell, one thing I think is fairly common is that if we often have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, it can actually become a stressor in itself, worrying about whether you're going to get a good night's sleep or not, and setting yourself up for not getting one because you're so worried about it.
Absolutely, that's true. So when people start to develop trouble sleeping, then they might very well get anxious about not sleeping, which of course isn't really going to soothe you to sleep at night when you're thinking about it. So you're right, getting more anxious about sleep does tend to make the sleep problem worse. It's much better if you do have a bad night that you're able to recognize that, you know, you might be okay during the day. It was just one night. And in that way, you'll reduce that possibility.
I've heard the term sleep hygiene used in kind of making sure that our environment is as conducive as possible. Can you talk about some of the things that we can do to make the place where we're sleeping the best place it can be?
Sure. So it's really good to have a very dark sleep environment. That's going to set you up for a better opportunity for good quality sleep. Of course, you want it to be quiet. And you also want to pay attention to the temperature in your sleep environment. Really, generally speaking, cooler is better. So there is some disagreement about the perfect temperature, but generally speaking, it looks like somewhere between about 60 degrees and 67 degrees Fahrenheit as an ambient room temperature seems to be best. You, of course, want to have a comfortable place to sleep and have a really regular sleep schedule, especially have a very regular time of getting up in the morning so that you really do avoid sleeping in on the weekends so that your body clock is set to know when the right time is for sleep to happen.
Let's go back to the phones, and Kim in Sauk City is up. Hi, Kim.
Hi, I wanted to make a comment that the amount of Wi-Fi and the sort of low-level microwave radiation in our society today reduces the amount of melatonin in the brain, and that's so important for sleep. I notice when I'm around towns a lot and just, you know, in environments where I'm exposed to a lot of that Wi-Fi, I have quite a lot of trouble sleeping, but when I go out into the country and I get away from that, I can sleep through the night extremely well.
Thanks for that call, Kim. Dr. Cottrell, is that something that's been studied?
Not that I'm aware of. So I'm not aware of any research that addresses that specifically. But I certainly do know that there is research that shows that light exposure or blue light exposure, which of course is potentially connected to the Wi-Fi as a device, does in fact affect the way that melatonin is regulated in the body.
Dr. Cottrell, as we said in this recent survey, as many as 80% of people wish they could sleep better. At what point should we consider going to see a sleep specialist if we are really not sleeping well?
So, of course, if you snore and you feel like you're sleepy during the day, it would be a good idea to check with a sleep specialist, a sleep doctor, to see if you might have some kind of a sleep-related breathing disorder that's disturbing your sleep. If you regularly have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep, or you regularly wake up much earlier in the morning than the time that you're planning to get up, so if that happens two or three times a week with regularity, then that might indicate that you have a sleep disorder. And again, if you're feeling like you're extremely sleepy or having difficulty staying awake at different times of the day, then it's worth checking to see if your sleep is what it should be.
Listener Alec in Sun Prairie wondered whether it's more helpful or harmful to sleep with pets, and I know a lot of people do. What are your thoughts as a sleep specialist?
Well, as a sleep specialist, I have to say that most of the time, sleeping with pets is more likely to disturb your sleep than help your sleep. I know, though, many people who do sleep with their pets feel that that's not something they want to give up.
And before we wrap up, Dr. Cottrell, any last thoughts on how important sleep is and what we can do to get better sleep?
Well, I think really just being aware of the importance of sleep is the first step, and actually starting to structure your day to plan for what your sleep will be like at night. Don't make it the least important part of your day. It really should be the most important part.
So maybe take a look at your schedule, what you're doing in the couple hours maybe before bed?
Absolutely. It's a great idea if you're able to do it to have at least an hour or two before the time you'd expect to go to bed to wind down and relax, really just get off those devices and allow yourself to do something that's really nice and relaxing.
Well, Dr. Cottrell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome.
Dr. Lisa Cottrell is a clinical health psychologist with Aurora Healthcare in Grafton, Wisconsin. She specializes in the behavioral and psychological treatment of sleep disorders in adults, adolescents, and children. She joined us to talk about how important a good night's sleep is and ways that we can get it. And you can keep the conversation going over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tell us what tricks you have or habits you have to make sure that you get a good night's sleep. If you're having trouble sleeping, tell us what seems to be the problem or ask for advice. And let us know if you have found the secret to getting a full 8 hours of sleep.